Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Matters, the show in which I discuss all matters of the mind and in which I show how much mind matters. Welcome to part 24 of Control Your Brain, Control Your Life. I am Udo Staatsbuchler and I'm live on air and I welcome your calls with questions and comments as long as they relate to the subject I am talking about. All other questions, comments and suggestions I will answer by email. I welcome your communications with me enormously, because it is important for me to learn what you think about this series, and I also value your comments and suggestions. So keep on sending them. For newcomers to this show, just go to my website http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Mind Matters Online is one word. There you will find my email address and then write to me. I will reply within 48 hours. On page 3 of my website and on the following pages, you will find recordings of all my radio programs for you to listen to at your leisure. Last week I spoke again about cancer, and as I had expected, I had quite a few emails on this subject. Thank you to all who wrote. Some of the emails were of a personal nature and I replied to them. The other questions, or rather my answers to them or my explanations, are part of today's program. These questions referred mainly to attitudes and behavior, but she also referred to family members of people with cancer and how they should behave, and very importantly, how they can help themselves. Now let us begin. Let's talk about attitudes and cancer. Emotions and feelings are an important part of coping with a cancer diagnosis. When a person is told they have cancer, questions like the following ones may come up. Did I bring the cancer on myself? Well, this could be so or not. Can my feelings really cause cancer to grow? Well, if you constantly feel low about your diagnosis, anxious or angry, it causes stress, which impacts negatively on your immune system, your natural defense against cancer or other diseases. Can I control the tumor growth by visualizing how my body is fighting the cancer, or by thinking myself well? Seeing yourself as being strong, confident, and being in control makes you also feel upbeat and optimistic. This strengthens your immune system. Would relaxation or keeping a positive attitude help cure my cancer? Well, I come to that in a moment. Treatment that deals with our emotions and relationships can help people with cancer feel more upbeat and have a better quality of life. The use of imagery, hypnosis, or relaxation is extremely useful to offset the distress that comes with a cancer diagnosis. I have heard of people and their miracle cure using imagery or similar methods. I am a great believer in the power of visualizations and about the power of our mind and using our emotions. However, in my opinion, the greatest effect that these powers have is that they make us jump into action, and that they can keep us relaxed or upbeat, positive, strong, and feeling in control. I have used imagery and the power of my mind to do away with the cancer that I had and have again. Obviously, I was not successful at that. Therefore, I cannot believe, until I'm persuaded by actual facts and not hearsay, that as strong as these powers are, they are not strong enough to cure us from cancer that is already established. Using these powers at the fullest capacity can at best prevent onset of cancer or delay or perhaps even halt the progress of this and other diseases. The latter is something that I'm hoping for, and as I mentioned the week before last, I have another checkup this coming week, and I will let you know what the outcome is. However, there is no doubt in my mind that standing up and fighting cancer with positivity and optimism, with confidence and assertiveness, and using all of our powers of thought, does immensely support all conventional cancer treatments. In fact, I believe without this input, our input, conventional treatments are more likely to fail than with our input. What are the benefits of keeping a positive attitude? There's an unfortunate but widespread belief. People with cancer and their families may feel guilty about their emotional responses to the illness. Sadness, depression, guilt, fear, and anxiety are all normal parts of learning to cope with a major life change, and a cancer diagnosis is most certainly a major life change. Trying to ignore these feelings or not talking with others about them can make the person with cancer feel lonely. It can also make the emotional pain worse. And some people feel guilty or blame themselves when they cannot stay positive, which only adds to their emotional burden if they do not know what to do in order to stay positive or if they try to suppress their emotions. Therefore, and this is the unfortunate but widespread belief that I'm talking about, they say it is better to give in to sadness, to feeling depressed, to anxiety, to guilt and to fear. But this is wrong, so utterly wrong. Anxiety, fear, guilt, and all the others are stressors. And what do we know about stressors? They lower the immune system. What you should do is to acknowledge and to accept that you have these feelings. It would be pointless to deny them because, well, you have them, don't you? They are there. Once you have accepted them, then you can begin to change them. Say to yourself, for example, I have cancer and I'm terribly afraid of it. I accept my fear, but I know that fear is counterproductive, and from now on, I will change fear into courage, the courage to fight against cancer. And then you formulate an appropriate affirmation such as, I am courageous and I am strong in my fight against cancer. Say this affirmation aloud to yourself and repeat it for a few minutes, 3 times a day and 7 days a week. After a few days only, you will experience a change in your attitude from fear to courage. Continue affirming until your treatment is finished and you feel healthy again. In my practice, I used a combination of cognitive behavioral therapy, body-oriented therapy, framed in a client-centered therapy. Within these kind of structured methods, I use everything I know to increase the self-confidence of the individual to the highest possible level, to establish in them the strong belief that they can use the power of their minds to turn things around, to make them feel better, and to make the best of the situation they find themselves in. I work with affirmations and visualizations, with reframing, and all the other tools I talked about in my lectures so far. I have said many times that self-confidence is key to every change work, and I gave you all the reasons why this is so. There are a few other character traits that you want to develop, and you cultivate the following characteristic. Firstly, hardiness, which means control, commitment, and challenge. Do you feel in control of your life? Are you committed to certain life goals, creative challenges, or relationships? Can you turn a problem into a challenge? People with this type of hardiness seem to suffer fewer chronic illnesses and have a much stronger immune system. Secondly, self-esteem, which means self-love. Ask yourself, how do you feel about yourself? Are you aware of your strengths? Do you like who you are? People who are aware of their strengths are able to withstand stressful life circumstances and are less prone to illness. Thirdly, it's awareness and the expression of body signals. Think about this for yourself. When you experience pain or stress, can you feel it? Do you know when you are sad, angry, or happy? And can you express these feelings? Or do you ignore them? Researchers have found that people who are tuned into mind-body feelings of discomfort, fatigue, distress, sadness, and also of pleasure, cope better psychologically, have better immune response, and healthier cardiovascular systems. Fourthly, love, relationships, and helping. Research also shows that people who have healthy relationships and extend and receive unconditional love become sick less frequently and live longer. People committed to helping others often experience the helper's high, which is not only an emotional and spiritual experience, but a physical as well. Love is the great healer of many ills, whether they are emotional, mental, or physical. How do you cultivate these qualities? Let us look at some of the ways about hardiness. First, find something to commit yourself to. This can give life a great meaning. Second, think yes. Experience the power of positive thought. Third, develop a belief in I can. Fourth, believe that you are in charge of your life. About self-esteem, first, develop strong social connections and friends. Second, acknowledge your accomplishments. Third, participate in therapy or group therapy. Fourth, explore and establish spiritual practices. Fifth, learn to replace negative thought loops with positive beliefs. About awareness, engage in relaxation, in meditation or prayer. Second, find a good yoga class or exercise daily. Third, take plenty of talk time with friends. Fourth, write a journal. And about love, give time and attention to your family and to friends. And give yourself and of your own gifts to others. All this is fair and good and also true, and there's a strong likelihood that under normal circumstances, many people can achieve this on their own and without any help. However, having just been diagnosed with cancer most certainly does not belong under the heading normal circumstances. Everybody who I talked to was in a confused, frightened, and very vulnerable state when first diagnosed with cancer. A superhuman power and effort would be needed to be able to change one's attitude and mindset in the face of a cancer diagnosis. Talking about my own experience, in spite of my training, in spite of my many years of practice in this field, even I first experienced confusion, fear, and vulnerability. But because of my training and experience, I managed to overcome this state and to create more useful feelings to get ready for my fight against this illness. However, most people in this situation will need professional help in this situation. Sorry. How do you know if you need help? In general, counseling will work better if you seek it out yourself. You are not getting the best out of it if you do not really want to be there. At the end of the day, it is up to you whether or not to have counseling. You might even feel that you do not need psychological help, and that's fine too. However, do not fall into the trap that I mentioned in my last week's talk and say to yourself, I leave it to the doctor. Doctor knows best. If he is a medical doctor or an oncologist, he will know much more about cancer than you do. But most of them have not the skill and also not the time necessary to take also care of your psychological needs and wants. As a general rule, if cancer causes you any of the following problems for any length of time, then counseling may help you to get back on track. Feeling very anxious, depressed, confused, helpless, hopeless, sad, tired, or angry. If you have difficulties coping with everyday issues such as work or even socializing. If you have problems with sleeping and concentrating. And if you have relationship, sexual, or financial problems. Many people are put off counseling because they feel it is a sign of weakness, that they are going mad, or that they have failed to cope with things on their own. This is so far from the truth. Admitting to yourself that you need help is strength and not weakness. Just because someone else looks like they are coping with their cancer better than you do, it does not mean that they are stronger than you are. They may have more support than you, fewer financial problems, and fewer problems with side effects from the treatment. Maybe they have no children to worry about, or just be at a different stage in their lives. You just don't know, and it's really not worth comparing. Your own feelings are what matter right now. So if you feel counseling could help, don't feel it is a weakness to ask for it. In fact, it takes a lot of courage to seek help with a counselor. It shows that you are taking control of things. You recognize that at this point in your life, you need someone to talk to help sort out your thoughts and feelings. There's nothing wrong with that. In the long run, it may make you a much stronger person and help lessen the struggle you're going through. Under no circumstances, go to your family doctor and ask him for antidepressants. There are much better ways to deal with your condition. Having counseling is a really positive experience for many people. It can be of real benefit during or after your treatment to have an hour every week devoted just to you. Some time to spend thinking about how you feel, what you want, and what's happening in your life right now. More than that, your counselor can concentrate on really taking in what you are saying and what you are going through. You can say whatever you like, and it will stay between you and your counselor or psychotherapist. The emotional pressures of a cancer diagnosis can be immense, both during treatment and afterwards. Talking to a counselor or therapist gives you a chance to talk about what it really feels like and to offload some of your feelings. Not everyone who has cancer needs to get professional counseling. Of course, many of us have people who regularly listen to our worries and problems, family, friends, a religious advisor, or a caring neighbor even. And for many, these people will be all they want and need. But this is not always enough. And I most certainly do not recommend it. Firstly, because sometimes it is easier to talk to someone who doesn't know you quite as well. Secondly, there are several advantages of talking to a professional counselor who is outside your immediate circle of family and friends. It can mean that you will not have to worry about upsetting or worrying them. They will not judge you or what you have done. You may find it easier to sort out and to talk about your deepest feelings. Then everything you say will be confidential. Your counselor, your therapist won't tell anyone else. And, very important also, they won't say something just because it is what they think you want to hear. And most importantly, they are professionals and won't tell you what Uncle Hugo did when he faced the same problem. Let us now talk about the partners of a person who is ill with cancer, how they should behave towards their partners, and what they should do to protect themselves. I said that a person with cancer should do it, but their partner should do the same, and that is, educate yourself and become involved. Learn about your loved one's particular cancer type, treatment options available, for example, surgery, radiation, chemotherapy, and so on, and the side effects. When possible, attend your loved one's doctor's appointments. Bring a list of questions to each appointment to be sure you remember to ask the physician everything you want to know. Remember, knowledge is power, and the more you know, the greater sense of control you and your loved one will feel. Get organized. Make an outline of your loved one's medical history and keep their records, the treatments, the X-ray or lab results and everything else on file. Keep it on file. Keep a current, complete list of medications, dosage and frequency. Also keep a record of your loved one's appointments, the names of the physicians and any other contact information. Encourage your loved one to record the daily symptoms so you can point out any irregularities to the doctors. Encourage independence when appropriate. While you may find yourself taking over a lot of your loved one's responsibilities, you still need to encourage them to be as independent and as self-sufficient as they want to be. The more control they have over their own lives and the more decisions they make on their own, the better. If they are able to let them perform certain activities without your assistance, provide choices whenever this is possible, for example, what to eat for breakfast, what to wear, and whatever else. Don't push your loved one too hard. Sometimes caregivers think their loved one won't get better if they don't make them toughen up. However, if your loved one is truly unable to eat certain foods or perform certain tasks, forcing them will only cause more frustration, more anxiety, and more stress for them. Chances are they already feel like they are a burden on you, so don't make them feel worse about their inability to do certain things right now. Accept your loved one's bad days. Sometimes they might be depressed, angry, or just having a bad day. That's okay. They cannot be expected to be upbeat and positive throughout this entire experience. So many times cancer patients are made to feel guilty if they express any negativity because everyone constantly tells them to stay positive. This is unrealistic. There will be good days and there will be bad days. Just make the good days extra special and the bad days less difficult for your loved one. Learn how to talk with your loved one. Since it is impossible to know what your loved one is going through right now, it is important to communicate sensitively with them. You should avoid saying things like, "It's all in your head. We all go through times like this. Stop worrying. You'll be fine. Look on the bright side." Instead, you can say things that help, like, "You're not alone in this. I'm here for you. We will get through this together. You may not believe it now, but the way you are feeling will change. I may not be able to understand exactly how you feel, but I care about you and I want to help." Don't try to tell your loved one what to think or feel or how to act. Just listen to them. Many cancer patients will tell you that just having someone who is there to listen without judgment makes all the difference. You don't need to have all the answers. Just a sympathetic ear. Follow their cue. Be sensitive what your loved one wants to talk about. Or they might not want to talk at all and would rather sit quietly instead. Find other sources of support for your loved one. While you may be a wonderful emotional support for your loved one, sometimes it helps them to have another outside source to whom to express their feelings. Ask your loved one if they would like to speak to a professional. I'd prefer a counselor or a psychotherapist, but it could also be a social worker, a chaplain, or another spiritual advisor. It depends on the ill person's preferences. And now to the caregivers, a few tips for your caregivers. When someone you love is diagnosed with cancer, it impacts both of our lives. You no doubt feel compelled to help your loved one any way you can. However, in order to help your loved one cope with the situation, you need to learn to cope with it as well. Embrace the things you can change and accept the things you cannot change. Sure, what happened is not fair, but what can you do to make it better? Remember, you are not the only family going through this. Instead of focusing on the past and asking why this is happening to you, think about what you can do in the here and now. Realize the special support you are giving to your loved one by helping them. Also, realize the gift you are giving yourself by being able to spend this time with your loved one. Hard feelings among family members result if one caregiver is doing all the work and others are not chipping in. Most of the time, people do what they are capable of, and everyone reacts differently in this type of situation. Try to be patient with other family members and remember that they are probably doing the best they can do. Don't try to solve any underlying issues or conflicts while your loved one is struggling to get better. Focus on what is most important at this time and put feelings aside for now. Let family and friends help share the load. They probably want to help, but they might not know how. Instead of waiting for them to make suggestions, give them specific tasks like household duties, for example, going to the grocery store, fixing a meal, picking up the laundry, taking the car to be serviced, spending time with your loved one while you run errands, and a lot of other things. It may help to make a list of daily tasks and prioritize what needs to be done first. Space out your activities with periods of rest. If you have children, allowing them to help gives them an active way of coping and feeling like part of the family. Explain that the family is going through a tough time now and everyone has to pitch in. Most importantly, make time for yourself. Caregiving can be a full-time job. It can also be confining and very lonely. You don't have to feel guilty about needing some time for yourself. You cannot be the caregiver if you are too tired and stressed. The following are the suggestions for taking care of yourself. First and foremost, get adequate sleep. Listen to relaxation tapes or to music. Do an activity you enjoy. Get a massage. Play a round of golf. Go to a movie. Take a warm bath. Read a book. Get regular exercise. Keep a journal. Keeping a journal, writing down your thoughts and feelings is something I also highly recommend in other stressful situations. Writing helps you to think linearly and focuses, crystallizes your thoughts. With writing, you combat most effectively feelings of being overwhelmed and out of control. It brings your thoughts in some kind of order, and because of it, you will find solutions to immediate problems. Writing is one of the most therapeutic tools in any stressful situation. Do not take things personally. At times, your loved one might take some of their anger and frustration out on you. Remember that they are going through a very difficult time. They are probably scared and confused. You might resent having to be the bad guy, the one who admonishes them when they stray too far from their diet, or the one who nudges them to do their exercises. Know that you are being a tremendous help to them, and they appreciate it. They do appreciate it, even if they don't say it all the time. You might find comfort in being able to share your feelings and experiences with other caregivers. Consider joining a local support group at your hospital. You could also join an online message board community to talk about what you are going through. You will find strength in knowing that you are not alone. Spend time together and say what you need to say. This is something everyone should remind themselves to do with their loved ones, not just during difficult times. This is a time to let go of any issues from the past and enjoy your relationship with a loved one. Do things together now. Say what you need to say now. The best thing you can hope for is that you end up having many more cherished moments with your loved one. Know your strengths and your limitations. It can be hard to give up responsibility, but at times it is the best choice. You might be struggling to balance your caregiving duties with your full-time job. Ask other family members to help if the responsibilities are becoming too difficult. Take care of yourself. Realize that you are the most important person right now. You are the most important person in your family. Caring for your partner or other loved one, running the rest of your family, delegating chores, being mindful of what's happening around your family, being mindful of the future. You have control over the financial situation, and perhaps you have also financial problems, together with all the other problems that you have to deal with. Your responsibilities are enormous, and yet you want to present yourself to your partner or other loved one cheerfully, confidently, positively, with optimism. Yes, you are indeed the most important person on earth. How can you keep that up? Well, as I said before, by taking care of yourself, giving your own well-being uttermost priority. Have regular sessions with a competent counselor or a psychotherapist to have somebody with whom you can share your feelings and thoughts. Strengthen your self-confidence and your self-esteem and take care of your optimism and positivity. Pay much attention to your own health. Stay in tune with your own physical and emotional health. Watch for signs of stress such as impatience, loss of appetite, difficulty sleeping, difficulty concentrating or remembering. It is also important for you to maintain contact with friends and family. Social isolation can increase emotional distress. If you are feeling constant sadness, fear, panic, or anger that makes it difficult for you to accomplish your usual tasks or activity, then it is really important or even necessary to seek help from a therapist or counselor. What happens when the treatment is over and cancer has been dealt with? I'm not talking here about the regular checkups that one has to undergo for the next 5 years, and I'm also not talking about your changed lifestyle. I'm talking about something that has been largely overlooked by mainstream medicine and cancer counseling, but is almost as important as the treatment of cancer itself. When you began your cancer treatment, you couldn't wait for the day you'd finish. But now, that you've completed your treatment, you are not sure if you're ready for life after treatment as a cancer survivor. During your cancer treatment, your main purpose in life was to stay alive and to get well again. You fought cancer, and with the help of your doctors, you won. Though you, your friends, and your family are all eager to return to a more normal life, your purpose is gone. You have stayed alive, and you feel healthy. And since you haven't changed your purpose, you feel empty, deflated, or even scared. You may even fear that cancer will return. I have to take a second break because I have to drink something. Excuse me. Sorry for that. Now it's getting better. We often feel neglected, abandoned, or just not listened to by doctors who are too busy to listen to our concerns. They are getting on with treating the next patient. But we have to live with depression and after effects of all the drugs, chemo, and radiotherapy that bombarded our bodies. Yes, most of us are happy that these aids are there to help us live longer, but the downside is you expect to be elated, but cancer survivors are often left feeling depressed, exhausted, and sometimes even angry. Everything you are feeling right now is normal for cancer survivors. Recovering from cancer treatment isn't just about your body, it's also about healing your mind. Acknowledge the fear and the grief and the loneliness you are feeling right now. Accept them and then resolve to change them. I have mentioned it in one of my previous shows that the first step to change something to the better is to accept that there is something wrong. Low mood or even depression is one of the most common side effects of cancer survival. Sometimes this feeling kicks in almost as soon as the treatment ends, but it might also hit you weeks or even months later. There are many reasons why your mood might plummet after treatment, but the basic summary is simple. You have been through a very tough experience, physically and emotionally, and it takes time to recover. You are not mentally ill, you are not ungrateful, and you are not a wimp, and you do not automatically require professional help, though you may find this useful. You are just feeling sad. So why are you sad or angry? One reason is that you still feel threatened. Though cancer is no longer an immediate danger, it might still feel very close by. You may be experiencing feelings of helplessness. During treatment, you and your doctors were busy doing something about the cancer. But when you reach the end of your active treatment phase, even though it's obviously what you have been longing for, you can end up feeling lost and helpless. When active treatment ends, people often begin to look backwards, trying to work out what caused their cancer. It's common to go over and over and over and over this. If you smoke, drank too much alcohol, or did any of the numerous carcinogenic things that we all do every day, then you might feel regret or guilt. Other people's expectations can be frustrating. Whether they assume you'll instantly spring back into your normal life or insist on treating you like a fragile flower, it's very common to feel misunderstood. Lingering feelings of sadness and anger can interfere with your daily life. I have not experienced anger myself, but I, in this situation, experience the sadness. And many other cancer survivors told me the same. It is a deep sadness that I had never felt before and was often triggered by a particular piece of music that popped just up in my head. I listened to it for a few bars only, and this deep sadness appeared. There was also one particular advertisement on TV that did the same to me. Luckily, thanks to my training and my experience, I could deal with it efficiently, quickly, positively and constructively. But also others without my kind of background can do the same by immediately using affirmations. If you do not deal with these feelings, whether it's sadness or anger, chances are that these feelings will dissipate after a while. But there's also the chance that these feelings develop into depression. A very common side effect is fatigue. Battling the disease physically and emotionally can leave many people exhausted. Fatigue isn't like any tiredness you've had in the past. It affects you both physically and mentally. It can be overwhelming or niggling, or it can veer between the two. It is also the most common, not to mention the most frequently ignored, side effect of cancer and its treatment. Fatigue is a physical and mental response to the stresses and the treatments that cancer brings. It is also a known side effect of certain medications used in chemotherapy, and it can take a surprisingly long time to get over these medications. Other causes include ongoing medication and changes in your immune system or hormone levels. Your body is out of condition. This can make you feel drained and lacking in energy, as too can disrupt your sleep, which is very common among cancer survivors. Your body has taken a huge hit and needs to be built back up. The most common fear in cancer survivors is the fear of recurrence. We may go years without any signs of the disease, but the thought of recurrence is always with us. We worry that every ache of pain is a sign of cancer recurring. Eventually, these fears will fade, but they may never go away completely. Be honest with yourself about your feelings. Do not feel guilty about them or ignore them in hopes that they will go away. They won't. Accept them and resolve that you will do everything that you can do to prevent cancer from coming back. And of course, you will act upon it. Then you can say to yourself that you have done everything you could and there's nothing else you can do. Use my method of reframing, I spoke about this in previous programs, to do away with this fear. Take care of your body. Focus on keeping yourself healthy. Eat a healthy diet with plenty of fruits and vegetables. Fit exercises into your day. Go easy at first, but try to increase your intensity and the amount of exercise you get as you recover. Get enough sleep so that you wake up feeling refreshed. These actions may help your body recover from cancer treatment and also help put your mind at ease by giving you a greater sense of control over your life. Go back to work as soon as you possibly can. If you cannot work, get out of the house and find activities that will take your mind off your fears. I said earlier that for the past months your main purpose was to firstly stay alive and secondly get well. Stayed alive and you conquered cancer. Your purpose therefore is gone. Find something else to focus on. Create a new purpose in your life. Focus on your family and reward them for having been there for you. Reward yourself for having had the strength for the fight you had, and reward yourself for winning it. Find a new hobby or take up your old ones again with renewed vigor. Do everything you can to take your mind away from what now belongs. Focus on a wonderful future. I have come to the end of this show, and I thank you for listening. Go to my website, mindmattersonline.info. Mind Matters Online is one word. There you'll find my email address, and I will welcome it very much if you write to me and let me know what you think about my program in general and the themes I discuss. Sorry. For now, I leave you with Christopher Reeve's appropriate words, and I quote, "Once you choose hope, anything is possible." Tune in again next week, same day, same time. Goodbye.